Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ, for surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the word of the Lord.
It is nice to see all of you this morning. Today I'm preaching with the title, Living in Newness. As I was preparing for the sermon, suddenly, with less than a week's notice, the student housing that I was living in was shutting down. So my husband and I started packing our bags last Friday, and we were relocated to another student housing this past Wednesday. Like the sermon topic, living in newness, I didn't know that I would live in a new place. Besides, my internet was not working well even after moving. So I'm here at our sanctuary to preach. Before I share God's word with you, I want to open our hearts with prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, allow us to receive and be challenged by your word. We ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us through this time of worship. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any times in your life when you forget that you are a Christian? Before the COVID-19 pandemic, my husband and I enjoyed going to Berkeley Bowl early in the morning to buy fruits and vegetables. Because in the morning, we had the chance to purchase produce from the bargain bin, the so-called 99-cent bag deal. The fruits and vegetables in the bargain bin are not spoiled, but the quality of the produce can be slightly lower than the fresh ones. If you're lucky, you can buy lots of organic fruits and vegetables that are usually quite expensive for students to buy. However, we are not the only ones who are coming early to Berkeley Bowl to buy bargain vegetables and fruits. There is probably the fiercest competition for organic products. People with short arms like me have a little disadvantage in the competition for grabbing things. So my husband finds his way through the crowd to compete with others for the best quality produce. If by chance he picks up organic vegetables or fruits, he runs back to me with a big smile. At the same time, he blames himself for not loving his neighbor as himself. The reason he blames himself this way is because he is a pastor. We are taught by Christ, but we cannot always live a true Christian life. Like my husband, we find ourselves compromising because of our interests, and there were such people in the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire, with a population ranging from 200,000 to 250,000. Because of its geopolitical importance linking Asia and Europe, Ephesus became a city of trade and commerce. And temples were crowded with idols, including the statue of Artemis. In the book of Acts, Paul establishes Ephesus church on his second missionary journey. And then on his third missionary journey, he stayed for about 2 years and 3 months and ministered to the church. In the entire time frame of Paul's missionary trip, Paul ministered to the Ephesus church for the longest time. In Acts chapter 19, we learn that there was turmoil in the city of Ephesus, and that there were times when Paul and his followers were in danger. Even in Paul's difficult circumstances, Paul's mission to Ephesus was so successful that many people became believers and turned to God. Even a number of those who practiced magic burned their magic books that were worth 50,000 silver coins. Acts 19:20 describes the success of Paul's mission to Ephesus like this. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. On Paul's final way back to Jerusalem, after his third missionary journey, Paul sends a message to the elders of Ephesus church at Miletus to meet him. He encourages them and warns them of the sufferings that the Ephesus church will encounter. Paul's special heart for the Ephesus church was evident in his deep personal confession to the elders, where he says, "But I do not count my life of any value to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace." For all of Paul's shepherding and care, it would have likely been difficult for the small number of Christians living in Ephesus, a huge city where the majority of the citizens proudly served the goddess Artemis. The Christians must have been pressured by their families and friends, as well as by many other Gentiles who did not know Christ and would have been urged to follow the pagan ways. Given how Paul addresses them in our scripture passage, they must have felt the strong temptation to return to their familiar and comfortable lives and customs of the past. Since Paul has once warned the Ephesians of the crisis that would come to the church, Paul speaks in a very stern tone in today's passage. "Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds." Verse 17 uses the Greek verb martyromai. That can be translated as "I affirm" and "I insist," rather than "I testify" or "I bear witness." This verb adds a sense of solemnity or importance to the content. Paul affirms and insists on in the Lord, which is en kurio in Greek. The phrase means "in the Lord" functions to add authority to Paul's counsel. That is, verse 17 marks the beginning of the most authoritative and decisive exhortation that Paul can make. The main focus of Paul's exhortation is in verse 22, "to put away your former ways of life." Here, the former ways of life mean the life of the past, and a life that is familiar. Paul talks about the life familiar to the Ephesians in verses 17 to 22. It is a life that is darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, and is characterized by immoral deeds. In other words, it is a life that does not follow the teachings of Christ. Paul urges the Ephesians to clothe themselves with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We can relate to the Ephesians in their return to their familiar life. This can be seen today in each of our personal lives, but it can also be seen in various ways in the life of a community. Even in families of faith and in a church full of members, there are always social and environmental problems that arise. When we face problems, we must strive to solve them with Christ's teachings and view them as to how our Lord loved us and forgave us. However, because of our interests and greed, we forget the teachings from Christ and make choices that are different from his teaching. How am I different from before meeting Christ and now that I confess that Christ is my Savior and Lord? And what causes me to go back to the way I was before meeting Christ or not knowing Christ? I would like to tell you a story from a famous Syrian short story writer, Zachariah Tamir's Tigers on the 10th Day. After reading this story, I came up with this thought that the little things that we try to keep as Christians are hard to follow. When we cannot keep the little things because of our temptation and greed, and when we continuously compromise, sadly, in the end, we may even forget that we are Christians. Please focus on that point while listening to this story. The story tells how a trainer tames a tiger in 10 days. I won't go into all the details, but I'll give you a summary. A tiger was captured from the forest and locked in a cage, and the trainer asked if he was hungry. The tiger demanded to bring him food. The trainer said he would feed him if the tiger admitted his hunger politely. With a hungry stomach, the tiger said that he was hungry in a kind manner. Then a few days later, the trainer told the tiger that if the tiger meowed, then he would be fed. The tiger was furious, but thought it would be fun to meow like a kitty cat. So he meowed and ate meat. And after a few days, the trainer told the tiger to bray like a donkey. And if he brayed like a donkey, he would get something to eat. The tiger said he would rather die than to bray like a donkey. However, the tiger could not overcome his hunger and brayed like a donkey. The trainer then threw a haystack to the tiger instead of meat and said, "Tigers don't bray like donkeys. You are braying like a donkey, so that makes you a donkey. From now on, only eat hay." And the tiger was tamed again with a stack of hay. As the tiger's wild nature got tamed by its trainer, the tiger could no longer be called a tiger. Like the trainer trying to tame tigers, our old life will constantly tempt us and tame us. The people of the Church of Ephesus were Christians, but their nature, their greed, and their attempts to compromise with the world gradually drew them away from the true image of Christianity. There are times when we say that we are Christians. We go to church, we hang the cross on our wall, and we read the Bible. But we live at times as if we are not true Christians. That is why Paul's message is so important to us today. In today's text, Paul encourages us to live a new life and teaches us how to live as true Christians. The last word that we must focus on today is the last verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Paul has already warned of the problems that will arise in the Ephesus church. Nevertheless, because he heard bad news about the church in Ephesus, once again, he is exhorting them to clothe themselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. At the end of his exhortation, Paul says, God in Christ has forgiven you. The reason why this passage cannot be overlooked is because of the fact that the forgiveness and love God has showed us in Christ is not a one-off event. Our Lord's forgiveness is continuous. The scene that best demonstrates our Lord's continuous love is the look of Jesus upon Peter. Jesus foretold in Matthew 26:31 that his disciples would all desert him. Nevertheless, Peter responds to Jesus saying, though all become deserters, I will not never desert you. But as Jesus foretold, Peter denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. Luke 22, verses 61 to 62 tells us that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. How did the Lord look at Peter? I doubt that Jesus looked at Peter to say, I knew you would deny me, or I told you so. John 21, verses 14 to 17 tells us that Jesus himself visited Peter after his resurrection. And just as Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus asked Peter again three times, do you love me? By asking, Jesus covered Peter's perfect betrayal with his perfect love. When we imagine the look of Jesus upon Peter on the night he denied Jesus, I think that Jesus would have looked at him with eyes filled with forgiveness that were saying, I love you and I forgive you. Jesus's love is unmistakable and complete, and it is a continuous love that does not end as a one-time event. His love will continue to forgive us in the future. Because we are vulnerable, there are times when we forget the teachings of Christ. In Christian life, even if we continually go back to our old self because of Christ's forgiveness and love, we can return to follow the teachings of Christ and are invited to live in newness. From Peter's story, we learn that Jesus' love and forgiveness is not a one-off, but continuous. It is written in Romans 3:10 that there is no one who is righteous, not even one. Our lives cannot always be righteous and perfect. But even though we are not righteous, the Lord tells us that we are righteous. But that doesn't mean that we should take it for granted, and that we can sin and go back to our old selves. While committing sin with the underlying thought that this is excusable because we are not righteous is not advisable. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that we have degenerated God's costly grace into cheap grace. Just because God's grace continues to be bestowed to us, we should not take it for granted to use that grace to sin. We must strive to live in newness through God's costly grace. And we must try to live a new life because there is someone who forgives us even when we fall. In our effort, the Holy Spirit will work within us and use us. Like trainers trying to tame tigers, our old self will constantly tempt us as Christians, and temptations are eager to tame us. Sometimes it is easy to lose our identity as a Christian, but Jesus' forgiveness and love continues today. Once again, let's listen to and cherish Paul's exhortation to the Ephesus church and strive to live in newness in Jesus' continuous forgiveness and love. I hope this passage will speak to you in a new way. Let's pray. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. Dear God, help us to remember your eyes of forgiveness and love, even when we fall by temptation, and during times when it seems hard to hold on to our beliefs as Christians. We ask that you bestow your grace upon us so that we can live in newness according to the teachings of Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.